Now, if you would, you have your Bibles, please. Would you stand with me as we read just a couple of verses of Scripture, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and I'll let you be seated. In the book of Psalms, and chapter 35, verse number 23, notice what David said. He said, "Stir up thyself." That's what I want you to see, that one verse, "Stir up thyself." Then if you would, over in the New Testament, in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1, and beginning with verse number 13. Now Peter said, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle. Even our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that I may be able after my departure to have these things always in remembrance." And so I want you to see out of those two verses we've read the phrase "to stir you up." And beloved, I want to preach to you just a little while on that thought. I want to stir you up today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God. Thank you how that you have been so good to us, Lord, as we just think about next Sunday. And Lord, of the 22 years that you've allowed this church to be here, a lighthouse in this community. And Lord, we know we're unworthy to even be a part of that. Lord, we are just thankful that indeed you've called us and placed us here. And I pray that you continue to have your hand of blessing, have your hand of power upon this place. Now I pray for everyone that's here this morning. Lord, I ask today that the Holy Ghost of God would anoint us from above, and then, Lord, help us to preach the precious word of the living God. Now I pray that as folk today listen to the message, it would find a lodging in their heart. Lord, I don't know the needs they have, but you do. Father, I don't know the spiritual condition of these folk, but you do. Lord, I don't know the physical needs, but you do. And I pray the God of all comfort, the Holy Ghost of God, would meet each and every need as we endeavor to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, grant this, we pray, for we ask it in the name above every name, the lovely Lord Jesus, we pray, amen. And amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated, holding your Bible open, please, into the New Testament in the book of 2 Peter. Now, the Bible said in the book of Psalm, David said this. He said we need to stir up ourselves. And, beloved, as we look around and we see the day of the Lord approaching, I believe without a doubt we need to be stirred up about some things. My friend, the problem today in most of our churches is that there is an age of complacency. There is an age of apathy. And when I think about the word stirred up, I think about perhaps making a cake. Now, I'm not a baker. Listen, y'all didn't know, but I'm a chef. My two world-renowned recipes are peanut butter and jelly and a grilled cheese sandwich, amen? But now, when I think about being stirred up, I think about some cake batter, and it's got some lumps in it, and you got to stick the mixer down in there, and you got to turn her on high and get everything stirred up so that it's just smooth when you pour it in the pan, amen? Now, friend, as a child of God, sometimes we get some hard lumps in our life. There are some things that, my friend, that we allow to come in that just make us calloused and make us hard. And we develop a hardness of heart and a coldness of spirit. And every now and then, God needs to stir us up with the Word of God. And that's what I want you to see this morning. Now go back in the Word of God in 2 Peter. Now, beloved, here Peter says, he's writing to the early church, and these Christians, my friend, have been scattered about because of the early persecution. You see, beloved, when they were at Jerusalem, everything was going fine. They were enjoying just meeting together, conversating together, fellowshipping together, having a good old time. But all of a sudden, persecution came to the early church. And when it came, they were scattered abroad. And beloved, God had a reason for that, was that they were to carry the gospel to the four corners of the world. And beloved, can I tell you something today? Is that it's good to come to the house of God. It's good to have revival meetings. It's good to have camp meetings. But friend, if it doesn't do something inside of you to cause you to go out and to spread the gospel, friend, it's all in vain. God wants to stir us up to do a job for God, because these are the last days we're living in, and time is short, and Jesus is coming back. Now watch something. Peter said, verse 13, he said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm in this body, it is meet for me to stir you up. Now watch what he says. Knowing shortly that I must put off this tabernacle. I like the way he talks about that. You see, beloved, for the child of God, my friend, death is not something that we have to fear. My friend, it's just like when I take off my coat and you take off your jacket, you take off your shirt. Listen, you're just taking one garment off and putting another one on. Amen. And for the child of God, when death comes and knocks on my door, honey, I'm just going to take off one robe and I'm going to put another one on. Hallelujah. I'm going to a place, my friend, that has no needs there. I'm going to a place where God's prepared for me. Now watch something. Peter said, now I know that as long as I'm here, I need to stir you up until I die. Now watch what he said. And he said there in verse number 15, moreover, I'll endeavor that ye be able after my departure, or after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And Peter said, I want you to remember something. He said, when I'm dead and gone and my body's buried in the ground, and when the skin worms have decayed my body, I want you to remember some things. And I believe there's four things right here that God gave me this week I want you to remember. Number one, look what Peter said. He said, I want to stir you up because I want you to remember salvation. Amen. Thank God for the song Brother Steve sung. I thank God for the night. I cannot tell you the exact day. I can't tell you the year. But I can tell you one thing. I can tell you that one night after coming home from News Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and sitting down in my living room at 4905 Lake Mott Drive, the Holy Ghost of God arrested my soul. He brought me under conviction. I was a lost sinner and I needed to be saved, and thank God that night I got saved. And beloved, there ought to be a time and a place that you can go to and you can say, I may not remember the very hour, I may not remember the very day, but I remember there was a time that I met the Lord. Amen. If you can't remember that, some folks say, well, preacher, you know, I put money in the plate, and I put some in there this morning. Honey, putting money in that plate won't get you to heaven. Amen. Now listen, I know it's Labor Day, but don't quit working on me just yet. Amen. Come on, help me. Now listen, I'm about halfway hoarse. If I can holler and scream like a wild Indian, y'all can shout a little bit. Amen. Amen. And he said to remember salvation. Here's what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. He said, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Honey, when you walked in this building this morning, you've got the Holy Ghost of God living inside of you. And when we sing the praises to his name, and when we read the scripture and hear the songs of Zion, that ought to stir us up to say, hallelujah, I'm a child of the King. Bless God. Listen, they'll go out this afternoon. I don't know who's playing. I don't know. Listen, I don't know who's playing ball today, but I guarantee you one thing. There's folk already sitting in a grandstand somewhere. They're sweating in the hot sun. They spent probably $60 to sit in a hot bleacher, and the sun beating down on them, and they've carried some little pig skin, which ain't even part of a pig, all the way down the field, and they'll hoop and holler and shout for 3 hours over a ball game. Praise God. Listen, I got something better to shout about. Amen. Amen. I got a home in heaven. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My name's inscribed in the Lamb's book of life. I'm headed to a celestial city of God where there's no sickness, no sin, no sorrow, no separation. I'm going to a place that God Almighty has prepared for me. That's something to shout about. And Peter said, I want to stir you up. I want you to remember something. Remember. Remember his suffering. You know something, my friend, it's a shame that a lot of churches don't even talk about the cross until it comes Easter time. But friend, I believe this. We need to remember the suffering. My Lord was beaten. He was smitten. He was stricken. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He was beaten beyond recognition. In Pilate's judgment hall, they took that cat of nine tails and they laid it on the back of my Savior. And he's standing there, took all that whipping and all the beating. He took it for you and he took it for me. We need to remember what it cost that the Son of God for our salvation. Amen. Stir up. Number two, we need to remember not only his suffering but his sacrifice. The wrath of Almighty God was poured out on his Son. My friend, when Jesus died on the cross, hallelujah, he paid all our sin debt, all the way from Adam, all the way to the last man that'll ever be born. Hallelujah, it's paid full and free by the blood of the Lamb. And the wrath of God was poured out. You know, I hear people say sometimes, well, I don't know if that sin is covered or not. Honey, I got news for you. When Jesus died, he paid for your sin, past and present and future. The things you hadn't even done yet, God paid for them on Calvary. Remember his sacrifice. Remember his suffering. My friend, remember that he was a substitutionary one. He died in my place. I should have been on that cross. I should have been the one to go to hell. I should have been the one to have the wrath of God. But he died in my place so that I could be a child of the King. Number four, remember the shame. You know something, folks, today listen, I'm going to tell you folks something, and don't get your feathers ruffled at me, but I don't go for a lot of these pictures of Jesus. Amen. Now listen to me. I don't go for them. You say why, preacher? Because my friend, you could not visualize what Jesus really looked like on the cross. I mean, we've got folks today, they'll paint him on the cross and they got a little bit of trickle of blood coming down his face here, and they got a little bit of blood on his side. And that's about it. Honey, I got news for you. When Jesus died on the cross, he died in nakedness. That was part of the shame. They were stripped naked, nailed to an old Roman cross. He didn't resemble the image of a man. He didn't even resemble a man himself. And God, in his wrath, poured it out and had to turn his back on his Son. And in that hour, Jesus looked up and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why. Because he poured the wrath of God out on him. And he died in shame for you and for me. When you grow tired, when you grow weary, when you get ready to throw the towel in and give up and go back on God and go back into Egypt, I got news for you. Remember the cross and the suffering and the shame and the price that was paid for you. And Peter said, I'm gonna stir you up. I want to stir you up. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And if it ain't helping nobody else, it's helping me. Amen. Number two, I want to show you something else. Time we got. Number two, what else did Peter say? He said, look in chapter 1, verse number 20. Peter said this, stir you up by putting you in remembrance of the Scriptures. The Scriptures. Look in verse number 20. knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, you say, preacher, what does that mean? Let me explain it to you. Let me read it. Peter said this. This is one of the cornerstones of our faith right here. He said, knowing this, first, that no prophecy right here, the Word of God, is of any private interpretation, any private origin. Man did not write this book. Say amen. Amen. This book is God's Word. Say amen. Amen. It is God's inspired, infallible Word of the living God from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. It is God's Word. It doesn't contain it. It doesn't become it. It is the Word of the living God. And Peter said this, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were, what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That word scares some people. It don't scare me. Amen. Amen. But he said, now watch this. We need to get stirred up and remember. I want you to remember some things this morning. I want you to remember that what you hold in your hand this morning is an inspired Word of God. What does that mean? That means it is inspired, God breathed. Amen. Amen. This is not an ordinary book. This is not an, you can't, listen, you can go down to Barnes & Noble, you can go down to Borders, you can go down to any bookstore and buy a book written by a man. And in 2 years from there, most of the time, it's obscure and it's thrown off in a trash pile somewhere, ends up in a flea market. But honey, one thing's for sure, the Word of the living God is preserved, and it is not written by man. It is the infallible, inspired Word of the living God. Amen. Remember that. There's no other book that's been written that could change a man's life, that could take a drunk and make him a sober man. There's no other book written that could take a harlot and make her a respectable woman. There's no other book written that could take an old sinner and save him by the grace of God and put him in a church and make him something useful out of him. Amen. Remember that. It is inspired. It is infallible. And thank God it's indestructible. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Friend, I got news for you. In the day we live today, there are people that's trying to discredit the Word of God. They're trying to change the Word of God. They're trying to adapt the Word of God. What we need is some old-fashioned Bible-believing preachers with a backbone like a solo that will stand up and preach, thus saith the Lord God. By the way, I just want to go on record. By the way, I saw a bumper sticker, Brother Steve, yesterday. And we don't have, I don't know if we have, maybe. Y'all, we got any Piggly Wigglies up here? Is any, do we? Siler City? You know, Piggly Wigglies. Gail, did you hear that? Did you hear that? That's Holy, that's Holy Ghost spit right there. Amen. But Piggly Wiggly, they got a little bumper sticker, Brother Steve, and I seen one, and it said this, I'm sticking with the pig. I like that. I'm sticking with the pig. I know what they're saying. I think I know what they're saying. You know, there's all kind of other new grocery stores that's popped up. There's all kind of grocery stores that offer everything else. But them little old country grocery stores, them little old Piggly Wigglies, and people that go there, listen, a lot of times you go in there and they know you by name and, you know, people say, I'm sticking with the pig. Huh? Hey, I got news for you. I'm sticking with the old King James. Amen. I'm sticking with what's worked out for the ages. By the way, it's the 400th anniversary this year of the King James Version. Amen. I'm sticking with what's worked. I'm sticking with what I preach for all these years. I'm sticking with the King James. Amen. Oh, many new translations are on the market today. I was in the bookstore the other day, and praise God, listen, you about have to have a translator to know. You got the ESV and the NLT and the RSV and the NIV and XYZ and everything else under the sun. But honey, if you get you an old King, some people say, well, I just can't understand it. I just can't understand it. Now, I want to tell you something. the more you get into it. Amen. And the more you read it, you'll understand it more and more and more. But honey, some of these new versions take away from the Word of God. And friend, I got news for you. I heard a preacher on radio the other day. He was preaching from some other version. I just listened to him just a little bit to see. Listen, it confused me like a termite in a yo-yo. Amen. Friend, I got news for you. I like to hear the old English. You say, preacher, that's hard to read. Honey, it might be a little difficult, but just go ahead and read it and digest it. It's been working for 400 years, and it'll work for another 400. Amen. Number three, go back to Peter. I'm going to stir you up. I hope some of you get stirred up this morning. I hope I'm not the only one to get stirred up. Amen. Number three, Peter said, I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of steadfastness. Look at chapter 3 and verse 17. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. And Peter said this, you therefore, beloved. A friend, I want to tell you something. I didn't get this out of a book somewhere. God gave me this the other morning. I want to tell you something. We read this verse. I want you to think about it. Therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest also being led astray with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Friend, Peter says here, therefore, beloved brethren, beware that when you have gotten out there and you've been exposed to other teaching and other, listen, we need to pray for our kids that's going to college. Say amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all can disagree with me, but I'm going to tell you something. A lot of these religion classes that they are subject to in some of these secular universities are nothing but out of the pit of hell. My friend, they'll try to discredit the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and everything that's good and holy. They'll have it taught by a professor that doesn't believe the Bible. He is somebody that don't even profess to be saved, and he's teaching some class on religion. Honey, I got news for you. A lot of folk today are being led astray into false doctrine and false cult and false beliefism simply because they have erred from the truth. Honey, I got news for you. Get in the Word of God. Get your feet anchored in the Word of God and be steadfast. Whatever comes, though the winds may come and though they may howl, thank God the Word of God will stand forever. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Now listen to me. Some will depart from the faith, he says. There'll be teachers having itching ears. Now friend, do we have those today that will stand up and they'll tell you exactly what you want to hear? We have those today that will, they'll say, well, preacher, you know, if you would be a little bit more encouraging and a little bit more positive, you'd get a bigger crowd. Honey, I got news for you. God called me to preach the gospel, and God called me to preach the blessed book from cover to cover and everything in between. And honey, the Bible said that I love thy law and nothing shall offend them. Amen. I don't want to hurt nobody, but honey, I got news for you. If you get upset at the Word of God, you're getting upset at the Bible and God, not me. Amen. I'm just a messenger boy. There was a preacher one time, he was preaching, and he got up and he was preaching hell hot, heaven sweet, and he preached on sin. He preached this. And I mean, listen, so the deacons of the church came to him. They said, preacher, would you mind taking a little bit of constructive criticism? He said, what's that? They said, well, you know, you just being so negative. You're preaching so negative about sin. And would you mind preaching something more positive? He said, okay, I'll take your advice. I'll do that. Come next Sunday, I'll preach more positive. And so next Sunday, he got up and they all sat down, was ready for a positive, encouraging message. He got up and he said, folks, I've been told that I need to preach more positive. So I'm preaching positive this morning. I'm positive against sin. I'm positive that there is a hell. I'm positive that Jesus loves you. And he preached positive. Amen. 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 We got those today that don't want to call sin by name. They don't want to offend anyone. Friend, I want to tell you something. you be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Friend, I've come too far to turn back now. Canaan land, the Egypt behind me, and look, I'm looking forward into the promised land. I've come too far to turn back now. Thank God the journey's just about over. I went to my, had to go to the doctor this week. Listen, y'all might as well just hog tie me. I don't like going to doctors. I hadn't been in a year and a half. I walked in, one of the nurses said, "Hello there, Mr. Thacker." I said, "Hello, Helen." I said, "You still remember me?" She said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "You never come by and see us, but we remember you." And I walked back and sat down. Now, my doctor's a Christian. And I sat down, and he come in, and he always called me Reverend. and he come in, and we fellowshipped a little bit. And he said, "You know, how you doing?" I said, "Well, here's the rundown." And he said, "You must be about my age," and because we had some of the same problems, amen, hurts and joints and back going out, amen. And he said, "I said, Doc, when were you born?" He said, 1955. I said, "So was I." He said, "I've been practicing medicine for 27 years." I looked at him. I said, "You don't plan on retiring anytime, do you?" He said, "I don't see anywhere in the Bible that for a child of God they need to retire." He said, "I do want to slow down a little bit." But he said, "For a child of God," he said, "I just want to just go on home when God finishes with me." Amen. And beloved, I got news for you. If I had a choice about it, I'd like to go like Moses went. God said, "Come on up to the top of the mountain, Moses." And God brought him up to the top of the mountain, let him look over into the promised land. And then the Bible, let me show you something. Amen. Watch this. I will turn over, please, for a minute. If you don't want to turn, listen to me. I hadn't planned. Deuteronomy, chapter number 34. Watch this. Boy, I like this. Hang on. I hadn't planned to read it, but here it is. Deuteronomy 34, last book in Deuteronomy. And so, in verse number 5, "And so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord." Now watch it. Verse 7. "He was 120 years old when he died." Now watch this. "His eye was not dim, and his natural force not abated." You know what that means? There wasn't nothing in the world wrong with him. There wasn't nothing in the world wrong with him. He didn't need any glasses, didn't need a hearing aid. He died. You say, "How did he die?" I believe this is what happened. God brought him up to the top of the mountain, and God just reached over and hugged him real hard. And all of a sudden, as God hugged him, Moses quit breathing. He said, "Okay, now you can come on home with me." And friend, that's the way I'd like to go. Amen. I'd probably scare this crowd half to death, but if I fell out up here one morning, that'd be all right with me. Amen. Praise God. Brother Gene Blackburn, he was the first preacher I ever worked with. Brother Gene he served the Lord for the last 25 years in the Rock of Ages prison ministries, going to prisons and preach. I mean, he preached to men on death row. The fellow that did his funeral, Brother Terry Ellis, said they was in a prison one time. Brother Gene was preaching. This big old black fellow was in the audience there, and said in the back of the room there was some Muslims. They started mocking Brother Gene. They started catcalling and so forth. He kept preaching away, and all of a sudden that big old black fellow, he got up, and he just kept on getting up. He said he just got up, just big as all get out. He said, "Shut up and sit down." Brother Gene started. He said, "Not you, preacher. Them back yonder." He said, "I want to hear what that man's got to say." And he preached for 25 years in the prison. But here just about a month ago, he got ready for supper one night. He'd already been in a wheelchair. His kidneys was failing him. He was diabetic. His health was going down. He was trying to get ready to do a heart valve replacement. And before he ate dinner that night, God called him into the presence of the Lord. Hey, you know what I say? I say to you today, finish well. Amen? in a day we're living in, there's so many that's backsliding and turned their back on God, getting out of the ministry, throwing the towel in, quitting their service and quitting their job and quitting everything. And friend, listen, stay strong and stay steadfast. I want to stir you up and remember, hey, it's almost over. Last of all, I see what time it is. I'll give you this. I like this part. I should have started here and worked my way backwards. Look in chapter 3, verse 1 of 2 Peter. I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of the second coming. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, both in which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Look in verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Friend, in the last days, there will be churches and individuals that will deny the coming of the Lord. I'm an independent Baptist. I've been an independent Baptist. I make no bones about it. Somebody said one time, I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I'm Baptist. Amen. There was a time that you could go into independent Baptist churches and you knew how they stood. There was a time that you had no quarrels about the coming of the Lord. That's not the case today. That's not the case today. Friend, even in some Baptist churches today, they are denying that Jesus is coming back in the rapture. They're saying the church is going to go through the tribulation period. I got news for you. When the trumpet of God sounds and the dead in Christ rises, I'm going to be out of here. When he toots, I'm scooting. Amen. And friend, listen, he said in the last days there'll be scoffers that'll come and they'll deny that he's coming by. But rest assured, I want to stir you up and remind you that he will come again. Jesus said so. And if he said so, I believe you can take it to the bank on that. I've got his word on it. There's more prophecy on the second coming of Christ than there was on his first coming. And we know he came the first time. And we know he'll come the second time. Amen. Now Peter said this, watch in verse 5 and 6. He said, and he said, for those that read the Bible, he said, for they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out were of water and in water, whereby the world that was then was being overflowed with water, it perished. He's talking about Noah's day. And friend, I got news for you. The scientists can say what they want to, but this old earth that we know today was covered by a worldwide flood. And God opened the heavens and God broke apart the firmaments and the flood came and they took them all away that did not know God. Amen. They perished in the flood. Y'all believe that? Say amen. And Peter said, one time God baptized this world in water. But he says, now watch it. The next time, it'll not be by water. God put a rainbow in the clouds. And he said, I'll never destroy the earth again by water. But the next time, honey, it'll be by fire. Look what he said. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. How many of you have ever had your house broke into? Raise your hand. Huh? Come on. I mean, your house, your car. Come on, raise your hand for a minute. I want to see. How many? One, two, three. You had your house, car, something broke into. Great. Boy, praise God. Them thieves must love me. I've had my house, my car. They even broke into parsonage. Say amen. Amen. But, you know, if I knew when that thief was coming, I could be well prepared for that thief. I'd have Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson to meet them at the door. But I didn't know when they were coming. But they came. They came, broke in the door. I've had my house broke into twice, had my car broke into twice. And friend, the Bible said that the Lord is coming as a thief. What does that mean? It means that, honey, one of these days, There's going to be a shout from heaven. There's going to be the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to get up, and the living's going to be changed, and we're going to be out of here in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It'll happen so quick that we'll leave this world, and they'll look behind, they'll say, what in the world happened? Where'd that crowd go to? Now watch it. Let me hasten on. One day, it will fall, the judgment of God will fall again on this earth. Look in verses 10 through 13. Now look there. He said, verse 12, let's back up. For the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation, that's manner of living and godliness, looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of the law of God, wherein the heavens been on fire and dissolved, and the elements melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Friend, one of these days the judgment of God will fall again. One of these days the water will be turned into blood. One of these days the hailstones weighing over 100 pounds will fall from the heavens and crush men and women on this planet earth. One of these days Antichrist worshipers will break out in sores. One of these days pestilence and earthquakes will be felt all over this world. One of these days this world will pass away with a great noise and melt, as the Bible said. It's coming just as sure as your name is what it is. Peter said, knowing that, we should live a holy life. When Jesus comes, will you have lived a life that you would be ashamed of? Or will you be able to say, I love his appearing? I'm going to close with this, and I'll need you to turn over to Revelation 21. Look at verse 13 before we leave this. And Peter said this, nevertheless, we look for a new heaven and a new earth. Now you say, preacher, why is that going to happen? I believe, my friend, here's what I believe. Jesus coming in the rapture, 7 years tribulation. He's going to come back the second time and set his feet down on Mount Olivet. And friend, when that happens, that's when the Battle of Armageddon happens. After the Battle of Armageddon, my friend, there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of peace on this earth. But then at the close of that, my friend, the Bible said in Revelation 21, this is where we pick up reading. And John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Look in Revelation 21. John said in verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I believe this, beloved, that God is going to baptize this world in fire. He's going to recreate this world as it was in the very beginning, without the threat of sin, without the mention of sin. It'll be a perfect world for the first time since Adam and Eve. And in Revelation 21, notice, he gives a list of some no mores. Notice, he said in Revelation 21, verse 1, no more sea. The sea and the Word of God is a picture of troubled nations. Our sea, just a week ago, was tossed to and fro down on our coast. It tore up buildings and damaged buildings. Oh, but listen, now it's calm. And that's a picture of the troubled nations. Our world's in a mess, if y'all hadn't realized it. Amen? And I got news for you, honey. The Democrats, Republicans, the Independents, the Libertarians, they ain't going to straighten it out. The only ones going to straighten it out is when Jesus comes. But a new heaven and a new earth, there will be no more sea, no more death in verse number 4. In verse number 4, no more sorrow, and there no more crying, no more pain, no more sun or the moon. In verse number 23, you say, why? Why is there no more moon and sun? Because we don't need the sun. We have the Son of God that gives the light. And then he says, no more sun and moon, and no more night. Verse number 25 of Revelation 21. And then last of all, in verse 27, there'll be no one who is not written in the book of life. Now, friend, one day you'll stand before God Almighty. You'll either stand before him as a saint, as a justified saint of God, at the judgment seat of Christ, and you will have to give an account of your sin. That will judge no Calvary. But if you don't know Jesus, you'll stand before him at the white throne judgment. And I can almost hear in Matthew's gospel, Jesus describes it that day. Many on that day will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we cast out demons in thy name? Have we done many wonderful works in thy name? And he'll say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I believe on that day, my friend, now you read your Bible, I believe there's two books in heaven. There's a book of life, and there's a Lamb's book of life. Everybody in this room's in the book of life. The day you were born in the county seat of Rockingham County in Wentworth, North Carolina, if I were to go there, if I were to pull the books, if I were to look in July of 1955 at Annie Penn Hospital in Reedsville, I would find my name. It was inscribed the day I was born. I believe God inscribed your name in the book of life in heaven. And I believe this, my friend. The Bible teaches me that there is a Lamb's book of life. One day, as a lost sinner, my name was put over in the Lamb's book of life. And God wrote it down. And it'll never be erased. Hallelujah. God's pencil don't have an eraser on it. Amen. God doesn't make mistakes. And God wrote my name. Thank God the choir sings. He wrote my name in heaven. And thank God he wrote my name down when I became a child of the King. Never to be erased. Never to be blotted out. No matter how good I've been or how bad I've been, I'm a child of the King because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. And he wrote my name down. But I believe that day at the great white throne judgment, your name will be called out. John Doe. And as they walk forward, I believe God will look over and say, is his name there? No, I find no record of his birth. I find a record of his first birth, but I find no record of his second birth. Angels come and bind him hand and foot, lead him away and cast him in the lake of fire. And while they are screaming and being tossed in the lake of fire, my friend, the Bible said, you and I will see that. I believe without a doubt, because here the Bible said in chapter 21, there'll be no more tears in heaven, but then the Bible said that God will wipe all the tears away. Oh, listen to me. I want to stir you up this morning. I want you to think about something. I want to stir you up to the point, if one soul went to hell because we didn't tell them about Jesus, we'll see them on that day. I'd rather you get stirred up today. I'd rather that you get burned today than to stand on that day and as they're led out. Maybe it's a son led out. Maybe it's a daughter led out. Maybe it's a family member. As they're bound and led out and they're screaming and crying, they'll look up and they'll say, why? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you witness to me? And all of a sudden the tears will flow down your face because, listen, there has to be tears for God to wipe the tears away. Oh, listen. No more. No more. How about it, friend? Do you know Christ? I hope you get stirred up. I hope you will. Stir up the things of God in your life. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Miss Joanne, would you come? We need to get stirred up about lost sinners going to hell. We need to get stirred up about doing more than what we've been doing for Christ. We need to get stirred up. My friend, this life that we call, that we enjoy is passing by so fast. My friend, one of these days is all going to be over. What will you do? What will you do?